Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Falcons getting ready for the NFL draft. 8 days away from the NFL draft. We have full coverage of the draft between now and then. And, of course, draft night, we're going to have a huge blowout with Dukes and Bell from 2 to 7 and complete live coverage of the NFL draft on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's going to be a big, fun night. And, again, I have no idea, Hugh, which way they're going to go.
Not at all. I'm still thinking like defense, though. Still thinking defense. With all the defensive moves that they made, I think they're going to go defensive. I really do.
Well, there's big news coming out tonight, and that is the news in regards to the NFL schedule, which will be released tonight. We'll find out who the – so now, here's a funny story from yesterday, okay? A guy trolls us. He trolls everybody. He gets – you know, so I get this alert, Hugh, that some guy is out there, I guess it's a guy, who's got this insider information, and it's being flagged to me as at NFL release. Did you see this story about this dude?
Yeah, I saw it.
He starts trolling people. It's pretty classic. It's pretty cool. He's trolling people, and I get, hey, this guy's got insider information. And look, a lot of people bid on it. I was even kind of playing along with it for a little while, that the Falcons were going to open their season against the Minnesota Vikings in Minnesota. And I'm looking at this thing going, wow, this is interesting. And some big names are starting to follow this guy.
Yeah. It was a few people that I knew that were actually following this guy. And he started tweeting about what it was like earlier in the day yesterday. And he was talking about schedule leaks would be coming soon. And that's when he started to pick up momentum a little bit.
Well, first off, it was a very official looking site. Okay. Let's start with that.
Right. Because it had the NFL shield.
It had the shield. And he just did it well. He did it well enough in terms of this Twitter site that he was making people believe, and people were biting. And then when a couple of people who were, you know, somewhat famous, including one in this town, when I saw that they were following them.
You're just going to leave it like that, John? Who bid?
Not on this station, and I won't say.
Okay, well, who bid? You're not telling. Why not?
Just not on this station.
Oh, man, come on. That ain't right.
I know.
Name names.
Okay, no, I'm not going to name names. I like this guy. But when I saw it, because I get an alert, okay? And the alert says to me, one of our followers says, hey, listen, you got to go to this site. He's breaking all this news. And I go there and I see the site and I see he's being followed by this particular individual. So I'm thinking, oh, there must be something to this. And this person at NFL Release is claiming that they have an insider who's leaking the NFL schedule out. All right. And I'm reading through this and Hugh, it was very well done.
Yeah, it was. At one point, John, he had up to 6,000 followers. He had 6,000 followers following him. And as I look at his Twitter feed as of right now, there's still a few people that I know that still follow him. And I think that they're following him because of the parody and how he had everybody going. But now he only has like 2,700 followers at this moment. So he played it well. He played it well, and it was official. He had like typed out notes. I guess he typed out on his iPhone or whatever. That showed the different schedules of the teams, had the times and everything, and had a lot of people going.
Well, because it was a believable thing, if you think about it. I mean, if you have access to – NFL guards its secrets, right? But let's just say that somebody who was in the NFL office, who has access to the schedule, knows somebody and is leaking the information out, that's a plausible thing to happen. I mean, we can't even keep hold of, certain information. It's plausible, right? I mean, we have leaks. And what he was reporting to made sense because he was leaking things like here are the Thanksgiving Day games and here are the primetime games.
This is the thing. He was committed to the hustle.
Yes.
And he was
yes.
And he was putting out tweets like the way that he was putting them out in the form and fashion that he was putting them out. He just had a lot of people going. And that's why people believed it. I mean, when I look at this site, there's nothing that honestly, if you're really watching an NFL official site, there's nothing that screams official about this. It's just the fact that he was committed to tweeting out. He came in, and his first tweet was, you know, NFL schedule is coming out soon. And then after that, he proceeded to tweet out times and dates of games, and he was just throwing it out there. And I think that's what got people to bite, because everybody – this is just shows you the power of the NFL and how much we are in tune to the NFL and how much we are waiting with bated breath for the season to start and the schedule to come out.
And then he comes out a little bit later and goes, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, he said it just pulled the biggest troll drop ever.
That was a good one.
Said, yeah.
I'd shake his hand if I saw him, because he had lots of people, you know, kind of biting on it. I'll raise my hands, including me. I mean, I was kind of biting on it too, going, wow, this is interesting.
He said, I wonder how many of those games he actually got correct. I would be curious to see that as well.
Yeah, if he got the fact that because he said the Falcons are going to open in Minnesota. If he got that right tonight and they say the Falcons are at Minnesota, I was like, whoa, dude got it right.
Yeah, I would venture to say he's probably got like two or three of these games right. I would not be surprised. And then he even went down to say that the Cleveland Browns and the New York Jets were going to play on Monday night. I know that probably had a lot of Cleveland fans stoked. That had
on the opening Monday night.
Yeah, that had a lot of Cleveland fans stoked.
Yeah, see, you play on people's emotions a little bit, you know, and you could get away with a lot. So the answer is we don't know yet anything when it comes to the NFL schedule tonight. And
that's not trolling. That's catfishing.
it's probably a little bit of both, you know. And so, you know, I wrote back to this guy who was the guy who alerted me, and I said, okay, that's very unverified. I'm not really sure how much he says he's got these releases. Okay. But I very unverified. But hey, listen, congrats to him. Him or
he had
her.
People going. It was provocative.
It was
he
fun.
Got the people going.
Who are the Falcons taking the draft? That's a big question right now. We have seen so many names, from Jonah Williams to, well, I guess everybody. DeAndre Baker, that was one that D-Led originally said. We've mm-hmm. seen Dexter Lawrence, Christian Wilkins, Rashawn Gary, Ed Oliver.
And the positions been all over the place.
Offensive lineman,
offensive tackle, offensive guard.
Cornerback.
D-tackle, defensive end. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? The Falcons, you know, there's a rumor Falcons trade up, a rumor that the Falcons trade down, because I think it was CBS or somebody saying yesterday in their latest mock draft, the Falcons are going to trade down to 20. I'm like, and take Brian Burns.
Why would you do that?
You know, to get an extra third round pick. I'm like, I think that would shock me. There are a few things that would shock me in the NFL draft. Number one, it would surprise me greatly if the Atlanta Falcons did move down. It would also surprise me greatly if they took an offensive lineman, because I think it misses the mood of Flowery Branch.
Yeah.
The mood of Flowery Branch, you got to win now.
And then think about it like this. I know that they've made a lot of moves at the defensive position, D lineman especially. But out of all the guys that you've gotten, can you honestly say that if you don't pick a D lineman in this draft with this class of D lineman that you've actually upgraded your D line? I mean, can you say that?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, because you went out. Okay, I mean,
it's a little bit older. Adrian Claiborne and then Tyler Davidson.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only reason I go. I mean, I'm not sure. Tyler Davidson was a big run stuffer. I think you've upgraded your defensive line, but I'm not sure you've upgraded it. I don't know to what degree you've upgraded it.
Okay, I look at it like this. And I look at it from the standpoint of the evolution of the NFL. And what do I see being the biggest issue that the Falcons had? The biggest issue off the top of my head was third down, getting off the field. Third down, you're throwing the ball. You need some guys that are going to get after the passer.
Correct.
And that's why I say when you look at the way that the defensive line, you know, Adrian Claiborne, I say, yes, he's an upgrade. But outside of that, do you look at this defensive line right now and say, okay, that's a defensive line that I look at with the moves that they've made and say that's a defensive line that if the quarterback drops back and throws the ball, that I'm going to be a little bit nervous if I'm the quarterback?
No, nah. I don't. I mean, that's why I say they're either going to move up for Ed Oliver, or I think that Cleveland Furl, even though I know it's a Clemson thing, but you got to get pass rush. Hugh, what's the number one thing you got
to
do?
Get to the quarterback. Right. Got to get to the quarterback.
You know, and we talk about the elephant in the room too. And that of course is, you know, the Tack McKinley, and you know, everybody talking about
if Tack's okay,
you know,
right? We don't know what's going on, and we haven't really heard anything about it. Which I don't expect we would hear anything about it, John, because that's a personal matter. That's something that you have to deal with on a personal level.
Of course. And then, of course, we also know the other part of that is that Vic Beasley hasn't stepped up at all. So it's, you know, they signed him and they said, okay, Vic, you know, we're going to go with you, but we're going to give you, what, $12.8 million.
Yeah, we haven't given up on you yet.
We haven't given up on you, but boy, he's got to produce. If Vic Beasley comes in with anything less than 10, if not 12 sacks this season and multiple quarterback pressures, the Falcons are going to have a problem this year. They've got to find a pass rush now, which is why I can't see – how does an offensive tackle help that? You went out and signed two guys to play this position on the offensive line, and I don't see where that is a benefit to you in terms of pass rush. It's great. I mean, I'm not – don't get me wrong. I mean, we need to upgrade the protection around Matt Ryan.
But I think that more balanced offense – this is my thinking. With the dudes that you have, the offensive lineman that you went out and got, more balance to the offense helps the passing game. And what I mean by that, you got two guys that are playing guard for you that are road graders, big dudes, big physical dudes. If you're running the ball, if your primary emphasis going into the season is to run the ball and get Devontae Freeman going, that it's going to, number one, it's going to keep a defense on his heels. And when you do decide to drop back and pass, I'm assuming it's going to be play action, and they're probably going to be the type of offensive lineman. They fire out first, and then they fire out to give that initial pop, and then they get back into their pass protection. It's going to be some of those quick hitting slants and stuff, things of that nature. There's going to be a lot of play action involved, and they're going to still be able to hit you deep. But with the size of the offensive line, it's going to be a huge emphasis, I feel, on the run game.
It's going to be fascinating tonight when the NFL releases its schedule and we find out who the Falcons will open with, who they'll end with, and, of course, when their bye week will be. That'll come out at 8 o'clock tonight live on the NFL Network. John and you talking about the Falcons. Dave T. Thomas is our draft expert. And you're going to hear it. Dave T.'s a character and a half. And you're going to hear a lot of Dave T. over the next 8 days going into the NFL draft. We're going to have him on again a couple of times before the draft. We asked him a couple of questions yesterday talking about the Falcons. First off, we asked him about the Falcons at number 14 and what he thinks the Falcons will do now.
Well, they were very high on moving up to get Ed Oliver. They thought that they were going to get a deal going down with Detroit. But the thing that's coming down is Oliver is really not impressing upon people except for Chucky. So everybody's sitting back to see what's happening at number four. I could tell you that this thing is so positive, you could call me Mr. Proton, that even if Kyler Murray gets past Arizona, Oakland will not pick him up. They finally settled in. They said they're going with Carr. They're going with defense with the three draft picks. I still say Mike Mayock's going to have to lock up Gruden in a closet somewhere during day one. But I'm looking at what's going on with Atlanta right now. Obvious needs are going to be on the line, whether it's offense or defense. Honestly, if I was picking and I came up in 14 and I'm seeing a 350-pounder with 505 speed, I got to bring Grady Jarrett's alumni in with him and go for Dexter Lawrence. Still, I look on the other side of the ball. The most sound technician you're going to find as a blocker, whether I'm playing him at guard or tackle, is Jonah Williams. However, if I need pass protection at my right tackle spot, oh, my God, I got to go up to Cougar territory and walk away with Andre Dillard. It all comes down to what falls in place. I'm predicting about 40 draft picks in the first two rounds are going to end up trading.
Yeah, that's how the 40 draft picks in the first two rounds are going to end up trading. I mean, it's going to be a wild NFL draft. And you know what? I say that, Hugh, and you know what's going to happen? It'll be rote. It'll be pick by pick by pick by pick and by pick. It'll just go like everybody expects
it
will.
It never does. I don't envision that. I don't envision it being the way that people, like you say, chalk. It's not going to be chalk. There's always somebody that's going to be in that first round that is going to have people scratching their heads. That's going to have Mel Kiper and Todd McShay and those guys like that that are going to be scrambling to figure out who this guy is or what was the reason or the rationale why this team decided to take them at this point.
Do you think the Falcons are in love with Ed Oliver?
I would venture to say yes.
All right.
But this is the thing. It's I think especially with the run of D linemen and the talk about so many different D linemen, that the surprise is going to be somebody's either going to rise or fall that nobody anticipated, because it's always been like that. John, think about I can't remember the year, the quarterback year, when we were talking about all these young quarterbacks coming out and everybody was surprised because they didn't go as high as everybody anticipated them to go. So it's always one of those things where as much as we think we have an inside track on what teams are going to do, they always end up doing – somebody always ends up doing something that we did not expect them to do. That's kind of how it is for the draft.
Well, I have a feeling now, as we get now 8 days out of the draft, I'm getting more of a feeling about what the Falcons might do in the NFL draft a week from tomorrow. I'm starting to see a little bit more about what I think that they might do. Again, I'm not in the war room. You're not in the war room. We cannot get inside Thomas Dimitroff's head as to what exactly they will do. And you got to also weigh that against exactly what it's going to cost them to move up in the draft. But I'm starting to think they're going to move up. And I think Ed Oliver is going to be – well, you know what? Dave T. talked about Ed Oliver, and in a moment we'll get his impressions of the Houston defensive tackle and what he thinks of Ed Oliver in this rotation with the – we have the soundbite. Well, you know, we'll play it after the break. We'll play what Dave T. said about Ed Oliver after the break, and because we'll get into that and the discussion. But that's – today, as I sit here right now, Hugh, I think that the Falcons are looking at Ed Oliver. We have Dave T., what he thinks of Ed Oliver. We'll play that for you when we continue in a moment ahead of the NFL releasing the schedule tonight, the week-by-week schedule. We already know the Falcons are going to play. Who are they going to open with? One of the big questions today. Top of the hour, what are we going to do about this bullpen, huh? You and me. Like we could do anything. What are the Braves going to do about it? I have some thoughts about that. Want to bounce those off you. Man, I am scratching through my – welcome back to the Morning Show with John Hugh. I'm scratching through my rundown in the break here, talking about things I've got to do today. Man, I want to see stuff done today with the Atlanta Falcons and with the Atlanta Braves, especially the Atlanta Braves. I'll tell you at the top of the hour what I want to see today. I think you have a little bit of a hint what I think they need to do today. So I look at the Atlanta Falcons, Hugh, and I see them sitting there at 14 in the draft, and I am now 8 days out starting to think they are about to make a big, bold move up. I think they're going to go – I think they're going to jump – you know, I think it depends on how high they have to go in the draft. They're in win-now mode.
But I'm curious, John, what have the Falcons done in the last few weeks that have made you feel like they're going to make a move up? Because, I mean, from my perspective, they haven't done anything. They've just kind of went out and, you know, they've addressed some needs. But that still does not feel to me like, you know – that's a move like they're going to be aggressive and move up in the draft.
All right, here is Dave T. Thomas talking about Ed Oliver, and I'll answer your question in a moment, but I want to get – this is our draft expert, and you're going to hear Dave T. as a character, and you know Dave T. from
long time ago.
Yeah. He's a character. This is what he says about the Houston defensive tackle.
I won't play him. I won't play him as a one-tech or a three-tech. Me, I got to take that guy and I got to stand him up. If I got a 3-4 defense, I'm playing him at the strong side inside linebacker position. This guy needs to be mobile. He needs to be moving around. Hell, if I wanted to go ahead and get a quality defensive tackle, I could wait till round two and walk away with another guy that plays like you, Douglas, with his hair on fire, and that's Draymond Jones up at Ohio State. I think that would be a great under tackle to go up against Grady, to go alongside Grady, unless they fall in love with the big boy over at Clemson, which is Dexter Lawrence.
Yeah, unless they do. Now, maybe they do fall in love with the big boy over at Clemson and Dexter Lawrence, and that's possible. Look, everything is on the table for the draft next Thursday night in Nashville. Everything is on the table, and we can't get inside their heads. I get that. At the same time, I think they invited Ed Oliver in. What they looked at him twice, right? I know they brought him in here
they
once.
They brought him in here once. I do know that.
And they spent a lot of time with him. They are intrigued by what Dave T. Thomas just said, that he thinks that Ed Oliver is like an outside linebacker in a 3-4 scheme.
That would be very interesting to see the big fella in a 3-4 scheme.
Right, because he's 290 pounds.
Yeah, he's a big dude. Big dude.
More you could do in a Dan Quinn defense. More you can do. He can put his hand in the dirt. He can cover in space. He can go inside. That flexibility. You know, Dexter Lawrence is a fine player. But Dexter Lawrence is a one kind of trick pony here. I mean, he's a big guy in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Oliver is a multi-use guy. He's a multi-use tool.
I remember when I was reading up on him a few years ago when he was up, there was some talk about him potentially winning the Heisman and how they were talking about it was a draw play. And he was in the backfield when the quarterback was about to hand the ball off. That's how quick he was off the line of scrimmage. So I can see where Dave T's coming from. But it's just like, for me and the defense that the Falcons run, to have him stand up and be in space like that, I think that would be, you know, he would probably be better suited in a 3-4 defense, and that's the reason why I threw that out there yesterday, because I played with a big linebacker like that. LeVon Kirkland was a bigger guy, and he was able to move for his size.
Another now, Clemson guy, right?
Yeah, yeah. Now, to put LeVon at D-tackle, I don't think he was built for that, but Ed Oliver is a different animal. Now, playing in space for a D-lineman, I don't know his skill set, but his athleticism – to me says that he probably could do it, but your mentality to be able to play in space and just have the wherewithal to be able to do that, that's a little bit different.
Yeah, but think about their logic here, Hugh. If in fact you get Tyler Davidson, who was a run stuffer from the Saints, you go out and make that move. Quietly, that might be the biggest move they made in this offseason. All right? Quietly getting Tyler Davidson from the Swamp to come up here, because he's the kind of guy you can put almost at the nose, which allows you to bounce Grady out a little bit more. It allows you a little bit more flexibility when it comes to what you're going to do on the other side. And, of course, again, there's the unknowns that we don't know, like Tack. We've talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
We'll attack McKinley. Here's another thought. From the 678 on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, they could trade up to get Quinnen Williams. Now, Williams is looked at from the Alabama tackle as a, I don't know, Hugh, as a second pick in the draft.
Yeah, he's a beast.
Right.
No question about that. He's a beast.
He's a beast. I think, my point is, I think that there is no way. Now, of course, I could be entirely wrong. All right, I admit this, because we can't get inside their head. But I just don't see any way that they sit at 14, any way that they draft, turn around and go back. You could probably clip this and then the day after the draft go, man, were you wrong? They traded back to 20 and took Brian Burns out of Florida State. Yeah, I was wrong. And I'll come on the radio and say, man, I was wrong. They took an offensive tackle. Okay, I was wrong. They took Greedy Williams. Okay, I was wrong.
Yeah, but so, nobody knows.
I know nobody knows. So I'm willing to make a prediction right now, and this is just my gut feeling based on all of the information that I've received. They are trading up, and they're going hard after a guy that can make an immediate impact on that defensive line and that pass rush now, and that guy is Ed Oliver.
But who's to say? But again, John, I ask, what makes you think that they're going to trade up? Because you're feeling that Ed Oliver might be gone.
I think
before the Falcons pick.
Yes, and I think Detroit at 8 knows it. I think Detroit at 8 knows it, and so Detroit knows that. I think that they've got a strong sense. It could almost be like one of those things, Hugh, where we had with the Hawks,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, you had the trade. So Detroit drafts with the 8th pick. The Lions take Ed Oliver, and then the commissioner comes out. We have a trade.
It usually don't work like that.
The Lions trade the rights to Ed Oliver to the Atlanta Falcons for the Falcons pick and the Falcons' third-round pick.
Yeah, it usually doesn't work like that. Usually it works the opposite. Like, they'll make the trade first. They'll trade the pick, and then the Falcons will pick Ed Oliver. Now, I'm not saying that might not happen, but you have a lot of young defensive tackles. Like Ed Oliver, I would probably say, is probably the second or maybe even the third best D tackle in the game. I would probably say Quinnen Williams is probably number one.
Well, yeah, depending on your definition of D tackle, because that's why I wanted to play that Dave T. Thomas bite.
Yeah, the versatility. Oliver, no question about that.
Ed Oliver is not a classic, even though he's 6'2", 290, he's a speed rush guy. Right? I mean,
he's a pass rushing D tackle.
Right.
I haven't seen anything that indicates that Ed Oliver wants to play on the edge. Now, in between the tackles and in that position, the 3 technique, I think he would be very good. But with that, I'm thinking that there are a lot of other guys that are going to be in the draft that are in that similar mold that might even fit your mold better than Ed Oliver.
Well, I think you do both. I think you absolutely can have it both ways, Hugh,
mm-hmm.
which is to say that in your second pick, you go right back into that well again. Look, the only thing I know for fact, and the only thing any of us know for fact when it comes to the Falcons draft this year, they must win right now. Okay? There's no let's wait and see. There's no building for the future. We just went over this. Dan Quinn has to win right now. And that's the predicate of which Thomas Dimitroff and Dan Quinn are going to attack this draft. We've got to get guys that are going to impact. Remember a couple of years ago, Arthur Blank said, you got to get me, 3 or 4 starters?
Yeah.
Okay, you got to get me 2 impact players that are going to dramatically change that defense with the addition of Keanu Neal.
But John, that's kind of been the mantra of the Falcons since Coach Quinn has been here. When you look at the draft picks that they've picked, Coach Quinn has put them in position to be starters. And some guys have worked out, some guys haven't. I think it's more when you look at his draft so far and you look at the guys that he's gotten. I would honestly say if you look at Coach Quinn's draft since he's been here, if you're being fair, it's probably been, what, 50-50 as far as the guys that he's gotten here that have made, you know, impacts and have contributed in a way where it's been on the positive.
I would say it's more than 50-50. It might be
70-30. 70-30, okay. Because right off the top of my head, I'm thinking Keanu Neal, Deion Jones.
Right.
Okay, Grady Jarrett. That would put you over the top because I'm looking at Tack and Vic. So, okay, I give you 70-30. I give you that. Out of those players that we just talked about.
Devondre.
Wait, okay, that one too. Okay, so 70-30. Yeah, you're right. Okay, 70-30. But I think that every year, in the way that the NFL is going, that you have to find quality starters. You like these guys that you pick in the first round now, they don't have the luxury of sitting behind anybody. That's one of the main reasons why I feel like they're not going to get a guard or offensive lineman, because now you're talking about, with what we have been told from Thomas Dimitroff about offensive linemen, how they don't like to get them during the draft because they feel like they're not ready to play. It takes them a few years. So that's one of the reasons why I don't feel like they're going to go out and get an offensive lineman. Defensive linemen and guys that get after the quarterback, that's easy. Hey, go get the quarterback. Learn this defense as much as you can. Go get the quarterback.
Now, the only reason they took Dez Trufant was because Dez Trufant fell into their lap. They were ready to take Rocky Alford. And Dez Trufant fell into their lap, and they were able to take Dez and Rocky. Okay? So that was why they took Dez Trufant. The only reason I think they took Calvin Ridley last year is because Calvin Ridley suddenly fell into their lap, and they went, we got to take him. I think they loved Calvin Ridley, and we all love Calvin Ridley, but they didn't expect him to be there. I don't think they have the luxury of sitting there at 14 hoping somebody falls into their lap. I think
that might be the case too. And I'll tell you what, my man Ezekiel Love, who listens to the show all the time, he has his take on it. He said his thoughts are the Falcons have been gathering depth due to them not using all 9 picks. They are going to try to trade up. That might be the case too. But there's nothing more attractive that you can offer anybody than that first pick that you have. And it all depends on, you might find a team that wants to move back because they don't see anything in the way of need that they can get at whatever pick they're picking at.
So yeah, I get
that might be the case.
Solomon Brothers. No, John, that guy is Quinnen Williams. Quinnen Williams is going to cost you. It would cost you your first, your second, your first next year, your third next year. I mean, it would be Julio-like to trade up to get Quinnen Williams, okay? It would cost you a ton. Now, maybe that's the shocker, though. Maybe, and who knows? Maybe it is. Our NFL draft coverage is brought to you by Northern Tool and Equipment. All the way through all our updates, Northern Tool and Equipment is our sponsor. All the way through draft day, huge savings online at northerntool.com. All right, we're getting down to the draft. Hey, there's something fun. We're going to break. We're going to break for a second for something fun next. The 8 mistakes that Hugh makes on dates. I got to hear this. And yes, we'll get into the bull at the top of the hour on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Now, more John and Hugh.
All right, let's have some fun!
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, see, a lot of people on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line are chomping at the bit to get into this Braves discussion. So, here's what we're going to do, all right? Top of the hour, we're going to talk about the Braves. Going to open up the phone lines, too. Just before that, a couple of things here. Hugh's dating life really intrigues me. I don't know why. Because I guess, you know why? Because I haven't done it in so long. The last time I was on a date was in 1987.
Lucky you. Lucky you.
Last time I was on a date, 87. All right, so this matchmaker is making news because 11 Alive jumped on it, and a number of other sites did too. This big, the number one matchmaker in the UK has decided to come out with her rules, her 8 rules for the first date of the that you have. Okay, these are the biggest matchmaker in Britain, and so here's the story: the 8 worst things a man could do on a first date. You ready for it, Hugh?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to see how many of some of these are like, duh, I haven't dated since 1987, and I, duh, of course, but here we go. Ready? Some of these are duh, but some of these are true. Number one, what's the number one thing, Hugh? Dress inappropriately.
Yeah, you got to dress appropriately for the date. I have a problem with that
one. I know you do. You're behind the eight ball already.
Yeah, I have a problem with that one because I work in the morning, and I tell anybody that I'm going out with, hey, listen, my job does not require me to wear clothes on a regular. Now, I have clothes, but I just feel like, you know, with my job being as early as it is, that sometimes I don't have to wear clothes, so I wear pajamas.
And, of course, it depends on what you're going to do on the first date. If you're going to play tennis, you know, you're not going to wear, you know, loafers. I mean, you're going to wear tennis shoes, right? But she says that the biggest turnoff for women on a date is being held at an upscale restaurant. You should wear a smart suit, well-ironed shirt, and you should have all the accessories.
Wait a minute, what?
If you're going to a upscale restaurant, you should wear a suit. You should wear an iron shirt. You should have all the accessories, and everything should match.
Okay, upscale restaurant. I would say a polo is nice, a nice pair of jeans and a nice pair of shoes. I'm not getting no suit on because I might not like you like that. If this is a first date, I'm not about to do that.
Now, I got to ask Tanitra. Tanitra, if you're doing the first date thing, okay, and the guy shows up and you're going to STK or you're going out to some highfalutin restaurant
nice
and he shows up,
shirt.
Is this okay?
No, this is not okay to
well,
go to STK.
Well, not what Hugh has on right now.
No. What he's saying is it okay?
Oh, yeah. No, I agree with you. Yeah, absolutely. If you walked into STK or any upscale restaurant for me personally with
Marcel's,
that suit on,
right.
Yeah, I'm going to think you're stuffy. That's not going to send me the right message. I think I just want somebody that I feel like they have some edge to them. You know what I mean? That to me.
No, I'm tie, in other words.
No, not even the suit. I don't even want that. As long as you, I'm going to do, what I'm going to really do is look at the belt and the shoes. I just want
clean sneakers.
Yeah. And you got to be able to, you know, matching up. Like, you took the time to look at the belt, look at the shoes, make sure that's right. I like a good sock game these days. That's kind of edgy, too. But please don't bring the
suit.
Yeah,
because you're like, everybody wears like the colored socks, the playful socks,
keep,
and things.
Keep the formal
that
guy from the 9 to 5.
Number two, check your Fitbit for calories burned.
I don't have a Fitbit, but that kind of falls in the same category as probably checking your phone or something like that. Now, I would tell anybody that I go out on a date with, listen, I'm in the social media world. I need to know, like, different things that are going on in the sports world. Like, sometimes if I'm going out, y'all might send me a text that I have to look at. I might get a text from the producers talking about what we're going
to
talk about on the show tomorrow.
We'll get to that. There are eight of these.
Yeah. So it's like, hey, listen.
All right, so now just let's stay on number two. Does it bother you if somebody checks Fitbit, Tanitra, for their calories burned?
Yeah, it really does.
And number three, ask her about her dating history.
I'm not going to do that. That's not what I do. I mean, I think women, you know what's funny? What I found when you go out on dates, a woman's going to tell you probably her more about her dating history more than you ever probably would want to know. Because somewhere along the conversation, it's going to go with my last boyfriend and we da-da-da-da-da. And then that kind of kills it for me. Women do that more, I think, more than guys do.
All right. What about asking about your dating history, Tanitra?
Please don't.
Yeah, no.
I mean, I'll volunteer that information when I'm ready, if I feel like it, if it's even that serious. Are we talking first date here?
Yeah, we're talking first date.
Yeah, I've had a couple of those where they've talked about, like, gave me way too much information.
Yeah, and don't you feel like, I don't know about you guys, but as I'm listening to some of these top eights, I feel like this is way too much of an interview. Like, I just want it to be, like, relaxed and just have a couple of drinks and just hang out.
Number four, take a call from someone.
All depends on, like I said, all depends on who it is. Terry Fox calls me. I hope he's listening to this. If I'm on a date, I'm going to answer the phone.
She says interrupting a date with a phone call is rude and disrespectful. Phones should be left off the table.
I ain't leaving my phone off the table. I can't do it. Cannot do it. Can't do it. Cannot do it.
I can't do it. I'm sorry. Maybe it's just the nature, and you guys know, not to kind of bring it down, but, you know, you have family challenges. You know, like, we've had some situations. We've got, you know, a crazy kind of world that we work in for sports. And
But don't you say that up front, though. But don't you say, listen, hey, I just want to let you know.
There you go. Now, that I agree with.
Hey, I give the disclaimer. I do give that disclaimer.
All right, number five, insult people or speak badly about other people.
No, I will. I don't say it out loud, but I do kind of tend to people watch. But it has to be one of those dates where if your date is kind of doing it too, then that's kind of funny. Like, you know, when you sit out and you, like, one day we were all hanging out and we saw this dude. He was on the phone. He was on his phone, as a matter of fact. He was checking his Facebook with his girlfriend, and he got caught. And she checked him immediately at the bar. and was like, let's go. And I was like, stay up, cuz. You know, that was funny. To me, that was funny. Because it's like, dog, you about to go get, like, she kind of cussed him out at the bar. And we're sitting there. Because I remember we were watching the Auburn game. We were watching, was it Auburn, Kentucky? Or whatever the game was during the Final Four. And it was like, she cussed him out and was like, we're going home right now. And I just was like, yo, stay up, cuz. Now, that was funny. That's kind of like the same thing. But, yeah, that was pretty funny.
Pressure her to drink. Go, go, go,
now,
go,
see, that's
go,
creepy.
Go, go.
That's creepy. Would you like tequila, please? Would you like another? Now, that's creepy. That's a little creepy.
Well, you'd be fired on the spot because I don't drink, so there's that.
Mention ex-wives, ex-girlfriends, or any other relationships you've ever had. Just talking about the first date to the new girl. Don't do it.
I've never done that either.
Yeah, John, you're on. That's a good
that's
call.
Something, yeah.
Just
that's,
don't. Yeah.
Yeah.
And finally, number eight, don't peacock, which is to say...
reckless eyeball?
Yeah, yeah, don't do that. No. Don't talk too much about yourself.
Don't. Who does that, though? Unless it's asked. I don't do that. I think my biggest issue is the clothing issue. Because I've been called like, dog, why you... like, my kids, it's sometimes we go out, my kids don't even want to hang out with me.
I wouldn't even know what to do on a first date anymore, right? I'm glad I don't have to worry about it ever again.
The struggle is real, John. It's hard in these single streets.
The struggle is real for the Atlanta Braves, too, right now. It's hard in this bull. Jiminy Christmas. What do we do about it next with John and Hugh?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.